Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome, members of the Savage Nation. Michael, I want to thank you so much, my friend, again, for this incredible opportunity to fill in for you tonight, my friend. I hope you feel better. I hope that you get your batteries recharged and reloaded and ready to go. This country needs you. We are now in a struggle for the heart and soul of America. And Michael, you are one of the key generals and commanders in this ideological battle. My friends, we have an absolutely superb show for you today. Go to michaelsavage.com. There are some sizzling stories, must-read stories. The most important one is the topic of the hour. At the top of michaelsavage.com, you will see a story from the Associated Press about the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen. Yesterday, Mike Mullen went to Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. And there, in front of our brave Marines and soldiers, Admiral Mike Mullen gave a speech that could not be described any other way but defeatist, craven, and cowardly. Mike Mullen went in front of our troops and told them to expect rising casualties, that the enemy in Afghanistan, as these brave men and women prepare to deploy, with Obama now committing at least 30,000 troops in a troop search, he told our brave men and women, many of whom will be sent to the front lines just after New Year's Day, that they should expect not only rising casualties, but that the troop surge is necessary because the Taliban are now winning. And as the Taliban gets stronger and stronger and stronger in Afghanistan, Mike Mullen, standing there in front of our soldiers, tells them to their face that they have to be careful how they engage the enemy, that they must respect civilians, not kill any civilians. They must understand the rules of engagement, that they must not do anything that can be perceived as hostile, anything that could be perceived as threatening to the Islamic world or offensive to the Islamic world. In other words, my friends, he was there telling our brave men and women to go in and fight a ruthless enemy while we have both hands tied behind our back. He goes there and tells our Marines to their face that not only should they expect high casualties, not only is this a nightmare scenario for them, not only will they face a powerful enemy, but that in the process, they must be sure not to kill civilians, not to go after villagers or go in towns where innocent people may be killed, and to be careful of the rules of engagement to not inflame Afghan or Pakistani public opinion. And at the same time, remarkably, Admiral Mike Mullen stands there and with shamelessly, this is to me what is stunning, shamelessly tells them, this is the worst struggle I have ever seen as a man in uniform in over four decades. Admiral Mullen, with all due respect, sir, do you not remember the Cold War, where the Soviet Union had thousands of nuclear missiles aimed at the United States, where we could be annihilated at any moment at the drop of a hat? Have you forgotten what happened in World War II? when hundreds of thousands of American men fought and died and gave their lives for freedom and for this nation against a ruthless fascist enemy? Have you forgotten all of that? And now you are to tell us, the greatest military superpower the world has ever seen, where we bestride the world like a colossus, if we want to, that now we are to be afraid of a ragtag army of Taliban people on camels and goats who don't even wear underwear. They're running around naked with a sheet over their bodies. And you tell us that this is a nightmare scenario because of the very rules of engagement that you have imposed on our soldiers, because you are telling them not to go after civilians, or that civilians can't be hurt through collateral damage. According to the standards of the military today, our soldiers in World War II, whether those that fought in Europe or Japan, are war criminals. By the standards of the multicultural, politically correct madness of today that infects our military and all of our society, those men were war criminals. If you went to Europe, we bombed Dresden to oblivion. We bombed German cities to rubble. Many civilians were killed in the process. According now to the dictates of the military, that was a war crime. You see pictures in Japan against the Japanese on all these Pacific islands where troops landed island after island. And what did they do to smoke out the Japanese fighters? They used flamethrowers. Well, by that stat, they weren't greeted with sushi and sake, I'll tell you that. The Germans weren't greeted with sauerkraut and beer when we bombed them in Germany. By the standards of the military today, most of the wars that we fought were fought by war criminals in which we committed war crimes. And listen to Admiral Mullen in his own words. You tell me, is this General Patton? Is this going to inspire our troops to go and fight? Or is he basically telling them, if you make one wrong mistake, if you make one false move, you're going to be prosecuted? Boys, roll the clip.
But you flip it over a little bit and you're an Afghan civilian and you've got a family and there's an operation. Your wife and kids get killed, and I'm the Marine Corps here to help you. It's hard to make that connection. It would be for any human being, quite frankly, on the face of the earth. So I'd ask you to think about that, and we're going to have to keep that front and center. The whole civilian casualty issue, the rules of engagement that are associated with it, working like crazy to get Afghans in the lead in their own country.
There you go. Rules of engagement. Casualties. Be careful for civilians. This is what he's telling our troops. Now stand back and think about this. This is the highest ranking military officer in the United States. This is not some low-level sergeant. This is the man who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Right under the commander-in-chief, he is the most important man in the military. And then he goes on to say this. Check this out. He goes on to say,
put in the extra time, because this mission is absolutely vital. And it is right down the middle of our national interests. And if it goes well, it will serve us exceptionally well. And if it goes badly, it is that nightmare that I talked about before. And again, take care of each other and lead well. Thanks for your time.
As you can tell, the roar wasn't that loud. General Patton, this guy is not a nightmare. This is what you tell our troops before they go? If the highest ranking military officer in the United States shows that he is not confident of the mission, shows that he is not full of determination and will, that he does not truly believe in the mission, that he is not coming in there and telling them, as Patton did. Patton told his troops, I will lead you into battle. You will come with me to the gates of hell and back if need be, but we will crush Nazi Germany. We will give them a beating that they will remember for 1,000 years. And to this day, don't take my word for it. Go to Germany. Talk to many Germans. Ask them what they remember about the Americans in World War II, and they'll tell you. The Yanks are coming, and when the Yanks go to war, they take no prisoners. And it was that attitude that enabled us to beat Nazi Germany. In fact, destroy it and reduce it to rubble within 4 years. Now, we are facing this joke of an army in Afghanistan. These hoodlums, these animals, these butchers. You can't get more primitive than these people. And it's now taken us, what, 8 years and counting? And we throw our troops in there into this giant death trap where they have both hands tied behind their back under such severe rules of engagement that no army could win with. And now, think of this. On the day that he delivered this speech at Camp Lejeune to our brave Marines, at the same time, two of the three Navy SEALs were being arraigned in a court, in a military court in Richmond, Virginia. Those Marines captured one of the most notorious terrorists in Iraq, Ahmed Abed, a man who not only murdered four American security guards in the battle for Fallujah, but then he took their bodies, he burned them, he mutilated them, and he hung two of them from the Euphrates River. And then he told the World Press Corps, come, see what we have done to the Americans. See what we do to them in Iraq. Look at their dangling bodies. Look at their mangled bodies hanging from the Euphrates River. Take a picture and tell everybody around the world, this is what we jihadists do. And this man, Abed, has murdered Iraqi women and Iraqi children. He has beheaded people in Iraq. He has led insurgency after terrorist attack after terrorist attack upon American soldiers. His hands are drenched in American blood. And these Navy SEALs did the people of Iraq and, more importantly, the people of America a tremendous favor in finally capturing him in September. And what is their just reward? I ask you, in all honesty, what was their just reward? They brought him in. Maybe they punched him in the mouth. Maybe. I don't believe it. I know for a fact that Al-Qaeda has a manual. Osama bin Laden has instructed his followers. If you are captured, claim abuse. Wage jihad in the prison system. And now they have effectively taken out three of our expert Navy SEALs. That is like an IED. Those guys are now off the battlefield. These are some of our elite fighters, and they are no longer being able to fight on the battleground because they have to defend themselves, their very freedoms, and their very lives are at stake because they're now defending their good name and their honor in a court. And if they're found guilty, they're going to serve at least 1 year in prison, maybe discharged from the military and facing a fine. They're going to be put in prison because this terrorist, this butcher, this animal claims he got a punch in the mouth. He got a bloody lip. Stand back and think about this. How can we win in Afghanistan when we have a politically correct military culture that is now, as we hear from the words of Admiral Mullen himself, they now care more about what our American army does, what our military does to potentially alienate the people of Afghanistan, the people of the Islamic world, to not have collateral damage with civilians, to understand the rules of engagement, and to treat the enemy with kid gloves. So we are now to go after an enemy, basically almost disarmed. And he is almost telling them, if you get out of line, if you don't follow the rules of engagement, then you will be prosecuted. That's basically what he's telling them. How can we win when our army and our soldiers now cannot have the full support of the military to defeat the enemy in Afghanistan? We now are forcing them to have a court-martial in Virginia, in Richmond. And now we are telling them, under this guy, Admiral Mullen, that to be careful when we go into Afghanistan. My friends, this is no longer a serious nation that is serious about war. This is a country that has lost its moral bearings. This is a country that is now pushing for appeasement and now is openly promoting a defeatist attitude. So I want to hear from you, members of the Savage Nation. Is Admiral Mike Mullen up to the job of being commander, the highest ranking military officer, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs? Do you believe that we can win this war in Afghanistan with now the rules of engagement that Mike Mullen has now told his own soldiers that they must obey? The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the talk radio heavyweight champion of the world, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. My friends, the number to call, 1-800-449-8255. Do you believe that the rules of engagement are permitting our soldiers to win the war in Afghanistan? Do you think they're reasonable? Do you think they're not reasonable? What do you think of Admiral Mike Mullen? He now addressed the soldiers at Camp Lejeune, told them the casualties were going to go up next year. They were now about to face a massive nightmare in Afghanistan. Was this General Patton, or was this a weak-willed, a craven speech by an admiral who now is beholden to political correctness? I want to hear from you, members of the Savage Nation. I can't stress this enough. I admire every single one of every one of our members of the military. And I don't care. It goes all the way up the chain of command. Mike Mullen has put his life on the line for the U.S. military and for this country. And for this, I respect him. But I cannot, I would be lying to you. I cannot lie to you and say that I have very high regard for Mike Mullen as a strategist or as a leader. And here is why. Mike Mullen came to the Washington Times. Mike Mullen did not make a very good impression. Admiral Mullen is a bureaucrat. He is an apparatchik. He is somebody who has climbed up through the ranks of the military. But he is somebody who, at his core, does not truly believe in the victory in Afghanistan. He made it clear at the Times. He just made it clear right now. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times filling in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. My friends, you want to see the contrast between conservative America and liberal America, between the multicultural, politically correct military of today with the traditional patriotic military of World War II. You want to see the difference between a general who knew how to lead and galvanize his troops, who believed in victory, and compare that to Admiral Mike Mullen today with his effete, wishy-washy call to arms. I want you to see these two clips again and compare them. This is Mike Mullen yesterday at Camp Lejeune giving his supposed speech for victory to our troops who are about to be deployed in Afghanistan. Boys, roll the clip.
But you flip it over a little bit and you're an Afghan civilian and you've got a family and there's an operation. Your wife and kids get killed and I'm the Marine Corps here to help you. It's hard to make that connection. It would be for any human being, quite frankly, on the face of the earth. So I'd ask you to think about that, and we're going to have to keep that front and center. The whole civilian casualty issue, the rules of engagement that are associated with it, working like crazy to get Afghans in the lead in their own country.
Now, pay very close attention. Do not hit civilian targets. Be careful of the rules of engagement. Do not have any collateral damage where a family is hurt or killed, because that will turn opinion against us. Have the Afghans take the lead. In other words, where is the strategy for victory? Where is the call for victory? Now compare that to General Patton, as played by George C. Scott, when he talks about confronting the fascists in Nazi Germany. Roll it, boys.
Some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. spill their blood, shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
My friends, that was not just the voice of a great general. That was the voice of a superpower that knew how to win its wars. That was the voice of a patriot who put the lives of his soldiers above those of a politically correct liberal elite. If Mike Mullen doesn't believe in complete victory in Afghanistan, if he will not stand there and say, as General Patton did, your job is to destroy the Islamic fascist enemy, period, then we will not win that war in Afghanistan. This is why we won the war in World War II, and this is why we will lose it now in Afghanistan. Because in World War II, we were serious about victory. Today, we are no longer serious. And that is the difference between victory and defeat. Let's go to Ralph in New York on WOR. Ralph, you're on the Savage Nation.
Jeff, Admiral Mullen has tied the hands of our young men and women walking on pins and needles. And I often wonder this, Jeff. How many lives has this cost American soldiers by having to have this approach? Because we're imploding because we want to be liked. We want to be compassionate. That is not how you fight a war, Jeff. It's impossible. And Obama, when he makes his speeches, He has no passion whatsoever. It's just something that's written for him that he just has to state, and he knows that certain things that he must do, but his
Ralph,
heart, his
he heart is a Manchurian candidate. You want to understand Obama in a nutshell. He is a Manchurian candidate who is a puppet. If the conservative establishment media doesn't have the guts to say it, I'm going to say it. He is a Manchurian candidate who is a puppet for the left-wing interest groups that dominate the Democratic Party. He is a front man for George Soros. George Soros is calling the tune. George Soros is calling the shots. You know, what's amazing to me about Obama, did you notice how much passion he had when it took to knock off Hillary Clinton for the primary? Did you notice how he can go on about hope and change and pound the pulpit when it was time to defeat John McCain? When it's time to win political power, when it's time to capture the Oval Office, when it's time for him to get all the power, perks, and privileges that comes with being president of the United States. Oh my God, he's sweating. He's pounding the pulpit. He has people crying in the audience. He's that energetic. But when it comes to winning the war in Afghanistan, he's cool. He's aloof. He's almost indifferent. Because in the end, he doesn't care about victory. And that speech by Admiral Mullen was pathetic. And it reveals now a military that has lost its way. Multicultural political correctness is killing our society. And I've said it before, and I will say it again. Afghanistan is turning into a liberal war. It is a war fought with both hands tied behind our backs. It is a war fought with a time frame and a deadline. It is a war fought with rules of engagement that, frankly, no military can succeed with. It is a war doomed to failure and defeat. And I, for one, will stand up and say loudly and clearly, Americans should not die for an exit strategy. They should die for one thing and one thing only, and that is victory. Let's go to Jerry in Chicago, Illinois. Jerry, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, I'm going to actually disagree with you. We're not fighting nation states in World War II. We're not fighting Japan and Germany, who were definitely our enemy. Afghanistan is not our enemy. It's just like Iraq. It's not our enemy. There's groups within Afghanistan that are our enemy. There's Al-Qaeda. There's Taliban, right? But we're not fighting the people. We're not fighting the government of Afghanistan. We are guests in their country. You want a path for victory? The path for victory is to get the people in Afghanistan on our side the same way we helped do it in Iraq. You've got to get the people to support the cause. Unfortunately, the American military and the American government isn't that popular in Afghanistan. There's too many civilian casualties, and to change the mind of people, you have to reduce them. That's the path to victory, to gain the support of the
Jerry,
Afghan people.
I hear what you're saying, but here's where you're wrong, Jerry. Respectfully, I disagree with you, and here's why. The people of Afghanistan are with us. We know that. The Taliban is hated by most of the people in Afghanistan. But with all due respect, Jerry, Your attitude is the problem that affects much of American public opinion today and, frankly, the policymakers in D.C. We are not guests in Afghanistan. This is a myth. We have saved Afghanistan from the Islamic fascism of the Taliban. We liberated 27 million people in Afghanistan from one of the most brutal medieval regimes the world has ever known. This was a regime that beheaded homosexuals, stoned adulterers, prevented women from even going to school. Those women were covered from head till toe. In fact, they practiced genital mutilation on some of those women. That's how barbaric that regime was. It was despised by 90 to 95% of the Afghan people. We toppled them from power. We brought Hamid Karzai into the government. I know there was a tainted election. I know there was some problems. But he is there because of American arms. The Afghan people are free because of the United States. So first of all, Obama has no business apologizing to the Muslim world for anything, because we have done more to liberate the people of Islam than any other country in the face of the earth. The Taliban is the enemy. Al-Qaeda is the enemy. You do not send troops in. I don't care. They can spin this all they want. When you tell troops, as Admiral Mullen did, be careful for civilian casualties, no one answers this point. There were civilian casualties in World War II. Hell, we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki with two atomic bombs. How much more civilian casualties do you want? You do what you have to do to win a war. And a commander-in-chief, and certainly the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I don't need to tell him this. His job is to defend our troops. His job is to ensure that their lives are protected. The longer we send them in there with these rules of engagement, the more Americans get killed. The more the enemy gets stronger. It's just like Vietnam. You don't win on the battlefield. You sacrifice more American lives. And in the end, it is America that will be defeated. It is the people of Afghanistan that will suffer. It is us, our American troops and their families, who are going to suffer as they see more body bags coming home. It is the height of immorality. It is the most immoral thing to do, to send troops into battle without the full support and resources that they need for victory. Those men and women in that room are barely, many of them, 20, 21 years of age. They have their whole lives in front of them. They are your sons. They are your daughters. They are brothers and sisters. They're your husbands and wives, some of them. You do not send them into battle by telling them, and whatever they do, if they make one small mistake, they're going to be like those Navy SEALs court-martialed. Those men are heroes. And now they're being treated like common criminals. Is this a military or is this a joke? That's the problem with these people in Washington. They don't understand. You're playing with real lives here. Families have given up everything for this war. The least you can do is support them and back them. But liberalism is the ideology of cowardice. Liberalism is the ideology of suicide. And that's why I've said nobody should shed 1 ounce of blood for this debacle in Afghanistan. This is Obama's war. Let him fight it. Let's go to Tom in Modesto. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's a lot like this. Yeah, George Bush, who was a commander-in-chief, and he sent a troop surge into into Iraq. Now we have Iraq, and the rules of engagement are straight out of a routine that Bill Cosby used to do about how to start wars. And it involved a coin toss, and in this case, most pointedly, you have the referee telling the colonists that they can wear anything they want to, shoot from behind the rocks and trees, whereas the British have to march in a straight line and wear red. And he has no idea.
Tom, you completely nailed it. This guy has no... Look, this guy can't run a lemonade stand. I mean, let's be honest among ourselves here. This man has never run a business. This man has never done anything consequential with his life. This guy's a community organizer. He studied at the feet of Saul Alinsky. He spent a few years in the Chicago State Legislature, was basically absent most of the time, and then he came to the Senate, in the United States Senate, and he basically spent 4 years campaigning for the White House. This guy never served a day in the military. He doesn't know what it's like to be in a foxhole. He has no idea how to win a war. He stands back with all of his liberal advisors, and all they're worried about is they're placating the international left. He is now playing to the op-ed pages of the New York Times. and to George Soros and MoveOn.org and all that crowd. And even for them, he's now too hawkish. That to me is remarkable. This guy is in and out in less than 18 months. He wants to send in 30,000 troops. He wants them to start pulling out after 18 months. And guess what? Just in time for the presidential reelection campaign in 2012, he is playing politics with the lives of our troops. To me, this is not just a scandal. It is a crime. It is a crime against our troops. It is a crime against the people of the United States. And Barack Obama, I'm telling you, every day that you send our troops into this war of yours, every day that an American soldier comes back dead, it is going to be on your hands, because you are sending them in without the ability, without the means, without the resources to win. You want to win this war, you unleash the full fury and might of the United States. You get us a General Patton who comes up and says, it is the enemy and we will destroy him and take no prisoners. But you don't send up this guy, Admiral Mike Mullen, who's telling them, hey guys, make sure you don't kill anybody in collateral damage. The last thing we want to do is have collateral damage, because, you know, that's going to turn the population against us and we're going to look bad in the eyes of the world. Do you know what a signal that sends to our troops? Our troops can see it. They can feel it. Let me ask all of you, in your heart of hearts, do you really believe in this war now? Do you really believe Obama's committed to victory? Do you really believe, in your heart of hearts, that our soldiers are now dying for a cause that is worthy of it? Or do you believe that now they are being their pawns in a larger game in which Obama is just using this to look tough to the American people? And he will abandon those troops, and he will abandon the people of Afghanistan. Mark my words. Just as the liberals abandoned the people of Vietnam. And this time, it won't be millions dead because of those brutal communist regimes that appeared in Southeast Asia. This time, it will be a victory for Islamic fascism like the world has ever seen. Obama is going to make Jimmy Carter look like Ronald Reagan. And this is why we as conservatives have to stand up with one voice and say to Obama, we don't want your liberal war. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, filling in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Sandy in Sacramento. Sandy, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael. Thank you for the opportunity.
It's Jeff. It's Jeff, Sandy.
My son is currently serving in Afghanistan right now. And my father fought under Patton in Northern Africa and in Italy. Mike Mullen is a disgrace to the military uniform, and so is Gates. And this president is the worst possible commander-in-chief we possibly could have. You either fight a battle to win, or you don't fight it at all.
Sandy, let me ask you this. Where is your son is where in Afghanistan?
I don't know. I know he's outside of Kabul. And if I said
What unit does he fight for?
He's in the Army.
He's in the Army?
Yeah, and he has met our commander-in-chief. And
Sandy, I just want to tell you this. I want to thank your son for his incredible, brave service to this country. He is a true patriot. And I want to thank you for being the mother of a member of our military. You should be so proud of him. He is the cream of our youth. And I want you to know, Sandy, that my wife and I will say a prayer for your son and for your family tonight. And I want to thank you for that call. Sandy, you are completely right. To me, the rules of engagement are, to me, almost, they're bordering on sick. They truly are. And this is a betrayal of your son and of every one of our members of our military who are serving, not just in Afghanistan, but also in Iraq. You cannot defeat this kind of a fanatical, ruthless enemy that kills women, that kills children. Look at the cowards that these people are. They won't even wear a uniform. You know, say what you want about the Nazis. Say what you want about the Japanese. There they were. They said to you, I serve the Nazi state. Here I am. Come and get me. These guys, They blend into the civilian population. You can't even tell the difference between them and ordinary civilians. They won't even show their face. And then they kill our soldiers in night raids. They plant bombs by the road. They put these little devices so you think it's a watch or you think it's a match or a lighter. And you step on it or you pick it up and it blows up. They are the true definition of cowards. I have never seen greater cowards in my life than these people in Afghanistan and Iraq, these insurgents. They make my stomach sick. And now we are to lay down in front of these people? We have this admiral, the highest ranking military officer in the U.S. military, our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is telling us that, no, our goal is not to defeat the Taliban. He even said this. Our primary goal is not to defeat the Taliban. It is to win hearts and minds in Afghanistan. It is to protect the Afghan people. No. Admiral Mullen, if your mother didn't tell you, I'm telling you. If your commanding officer never told you, I'm telling you. Your job is one thing and one thing only, and that is to win. That is to take the fight to the Taliban and give them a beating, a trashing that they will never forget. That is your job. And the job of every American out there who's fighting in Afghanistan or in the sands of Iraq is not only to beat the Taliban, but to protect themselves. It is about making sure that we protect them because they are ours. Admiral Mullen, you are not the highest ranking military officer of the people of Afghanistan. You are here to defend the people of the United States and our troops. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off today reloading and recharging his batteries, but he'll be back in full force and better than ever. Michael, I just want to thank you so much, my friend, again, for just the incredible opportunity to fill in into your legendary shoes. I cannot thank you enough. It is to me such a treat every time I do it. I was just telling your producers before the show, you have no idea. It makes my day whenever I hear that I have this incredible opportunity to sit in and to talk to your wonderful audience out there. Members of the Savage Nation, please go to michaelsavage.com. There are some absolutely superb stories up there. You want to talk about us unilaterally disarming in the war against radical jihad. Take a look at one of the top stories on michaelsavage.com. The Transportation Security Administration mistakenly posted their screening procedures online. In other words, every terrorist who wants to know how to evade security checks at an American airport can now see it online. It is a stunning story, and again, another blatant example of our inability to fight this war on terror. There is breaking news right now I want to warn all of you about and tell all of you about. We have now just got official confirmation. The U.S. Senate, in a major vote on the Nelson Amendment, this was an amendment brought forward by moderate Democrat from Nebraska, Senator Ben Nelson, to imitate and replicate the Stupak Amendment, to restrict federal funding of abortion to make sure that any health care bill that is passed does not give federal funding for abortion, either through subsidies or through the so-called public option. That amendment has been shot down. That amendment has now been voted down. Ben Nelson's amendment was defeated, and it means this. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid now has a major political problem on his hands because Senator Ben Nelson has said he will not support the Senate health care bill if his amendment is defeated. Now Reid has an internal rebellion within the Democratic Party. He will not be able to get the 60 votes he needs, and this could lead to a major defeat for Senate Democrats on their health care option. And speaking of Harry Caray, speaking of Dirty Harry, Harry Reid. Harry Reid came out recently with a comment about the opponents of healthcare reform that to me are beyond stunning and now should galvanize every conservative, every independent, every moderate, every sane Democrat around the country to stand up and demand that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid resign. In the debate yesterday, on the Senate floor, Harry Reid, now facing increasing pressure from within his own party to pass a government-run health insurance bill, seeing Barack Obama, in a desperate bid, go to Capitol Hill, something that Obama very rarely does, on a Sunday afternoon, where in behind-closed-door meetings, Obama urged every key Democrat to come together and support Harry Reid's initiative to push through some form of government-run health insurance. As Obama said, we cannot miss this opportunity. It is once in a lifetime. Reid, now feeling under pressure from Obama, now seeing that the American public is decisively turning against government-run health care, went on the Senate floor and played the race card from the bottom of the deck. Reid stood there, unashamedly, unequivocally, and he compared the critics of health care reform, people like you, people like me, people who oppose big government socialized medicine, and he compared us to supporters of slavery. He compared the critics of health care reform to people who supported segregation under the Jim Crow South, to people who opposed civil rights legislation, and to people who sought to deny women the vote. As he put it in his own words, the very same people who are saying slow down on health care are the same people who said slow down on abolishing slavery, slow down on passing civil rights legislation, slow down on passing the right for women to vote. Here is Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid on the Senate floor in his own shocking words. Roll the clip, boys.
All Republicans can come up with is this. Slow down. Stop everything. Let's start over. You think you've heard these same excuses before? You're right. When this country belatedly recognized the wrongs of slavery, there were those who dug in their heels and said, slow down. It's too early. Let's wait. Things aren't bad enough.
Can you believe that? This, to me, is one of the most incendiary, inflammatory statements I have ever heard anybody say on the Senate floor. For this man to stand there in good conscience and smear and slander and libel every person that opposes health care reform as a comparing them to a supporter of slavery. Slavery was the worst thing that ever occurred in America. What Harry Reid is doing, make no mistake about it, is he is pitting black against white, race against race, American against American. It is the politics of the moral sewer. It is the politics of the gutter. And my question to Sexy Harry, to Dirty Harry, is this. Harry, did it ever occur to you, even once in your mind, once in one of your high school classes, did nobody ever teach you that it was the Republican Party that opposed slavery? It was the Republican Party that opposed the expansion of slavery into the territories. It was the Republican Party under Abraham Lincoln that fought a civil war to abolish slavery in the Confederate South. Harry, did it ever occur to you, Harry, that it was the Democrats that stonewalled and obstructed civil rights legislation. It was Senator Robert Byrd from West Virginia, who was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. He was the one leading the charge against civil rights legislation, Harry. It was Strom Thurmond, who was then a Democrat from South Carolina. He was the one that filibustered civil rights legislation, Harry. Did it also occur to you, Harry, that more Republicans supported Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 than Democrats did, Harry? If you had even a rudimentary knowledge of history, you would know that. But you don't give a damn about history. All you know how to do is smear and slander and libel. And to me, what is most remarkable about all of this is, where were the Republicans? Their integrity is being impugned. Their dignity is being impugned. Their character is being assassinated. So are you to tell me, Harry, that somebody like Joe Lieberman, who opposes the public option, who opposes what's in your health care bill, is he a supporter of slavery, Harry? This is the mindset of a man who is so determined to ram socialized medicine down our throats, he is willing to almost say and do anything. This is an act of desperation. This is an act of a man who now knows the American public has turned against this horrible bill. When Americans oppose socialized medicine, they are opposing rationing. They are opposing higher taxes. They are opposing higher premiums. They are opposing massive cuts to Medicare that will savage our seniors. They are opposing a bill that, if passed, remember this, my friends, if passed, it is not going to cost us $1 trillion. That is a lie. It is going to cost us $2.5 trillion over 10 years. They are lying with the figures. All independent experts say it's going to be nearly 3 times the cost of what the Democrats say. We are bankrupting this country. We are now forcing a bill that, if passed, is money that we don't have. And it is done for one reason and one reason only. It is now to have power in the hands of the Democrats to consolidate even more power, because the party of government wants bigger government. What health care is about, remember this, it has nothing to do with solving a bogus, trumped up health care crisis. It is about putting tens of millions of people on government rolls to make them addicted to big government, to now make sure that they are now clients of the government and, by extension, clients of the Democratic Party. This is a power grab if I've ever seen one. So, Harry, let me tell you this. You can stand there all you want, and you can smear, slander, and lie. But the fact remains, you, sir, and your party are the party that defended slavery. You, sir, and your party are the party that defended segregation. And now you are trying to pass the modern-day 21st century version of slavery, healthcare slavery. You want to nationalize healthcare and, in the process, nationalize our bodies. Because make no mistake about it, if the government controls your health care and your medical care, if they can determine what doctor you can go to, what treatment you can get, what treatment you can't get, how you can take care of your family, of your children, they own you. In effect, they own you, because they own the most important thing, your health, your body. And now Reed is trying to use the smokescreen of slavery to hide the fact that he and his party are the true party of slavery once again. This time, the first time, the victims were African Americans. This time, the victims will be you, Middle America. And this is why we should rise up and say once and for all, no to this bill. So the question I have for all of you out there, members of the Savage Nation, should Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid resign over the fact that he has now smeared everybody in America who now opposes health care reform? Should Harry Reid be forced to step aside? What should Republicans do to finally hold Harry Reid accountable for his statements, which were clearly beyond the pale? 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Jeff Kuhner from The Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Do you think Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid should step aside and resign after his comments yesterday on the Senate floor comparing critics of health care reform to supporters of slavery? I want to hear from you. Let's go to Bob in Virginia Beach. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. Before I get to my comment, I just wanted to say real quick that I really enjoy it when you host the show. I think you do a really great job.
Oh, thanks, Bob.
You know, Senator Reid's comments were just outrageous on so many different levels. From the perspective of historical proportion, it was just repulsive. The rhetorical force of his comments were offensive in the extreme. And, you know, while it's infuriating, it doesn't surprise me at all because this is the default debate tactic of the left now. They default to a logical fallacy before everything else. It's ad hominem. That is their mainstream tactic that they resort to before anything else. And it's infuriating, and it's also quite discouraging. It's no different from, I don't know if you recall this, but not too long ago, Jeanine Garofalo was on Olbermann's show. And she was referring derisively to the teabaggers as people who had brain damage, because and that was the source of their perspective, their worldview. So
Bob, I want to thank you for the call, my friend. You shouldn't be discouraged at all. Look, Jeanine Garofalo is a pathetic hack. She's a liberal hack. I don't think she's read a magazine or a newspaper a day in her life. Her comments are utterly ignorant, not just on the Tea Party people, but frankly on almost anything. Her comments on the Iraq War were a disgrace. And Bob, here is the point. The reason why you shouldn't be discouraged is the fact that liberals have to resort to ad hominem attacks. If they have to resort to smears, slander, libel, and character assassination, it's because they don't have the facts. If you don't have the facts, if you don't have the arguments, if you don't have the evidence, then smear, smear, smear. And it just reveals, in all of its ugliness, the moral and intellectual bankruptcy of liberalism as it is today. To me, this guy, Senate Majority Leader Reid, Dirty Harry, is to me an embarrassment to the Democratic Party and to liberals everywhere. It's hard to explain this to people. You have to see him up close, but he's one of the most bizarre people you will ever meet. And he's strange. He's odd. He's like a robot. I always refer to him as the vampire. He's pale. He's white. He is utterly cold, almost without any feeling. He just drones on and on. He's like that in public as he is in private. He talks from the side of his mouth. This is the same man who said the Iraq War was lost after Bush announced his surge. This is a man who has sought to undermine our troops everywhere around the world. This is a man who claims to be a Mormon yet supports abortion on demand. Just today, with that vote today, he was the one that told Democrats to go against the Ben Nelson Amendment. And yet he calls himself a practicing Mormon. This guy is revealing himself to be an absolute nightmare as Senate Majority Leader. And right in front of him, he is now losing the votes to pass the Senate health care bill. That comment yesterday on the Senate floor, that was a comment that came from desperation. And my question to the Republicans is a simple one. Where's your guts? Where's your courage? Why don't you stand up and say, we will stop any proceedings in the Senate unless Harry Reid resigns. We are not supporters of slavery. This man doesn't have the temperament or the judgment to be the leader in the Senate. I am Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner from The Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Do you think Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid should resign for comparing opponents of health care reform to supporters of slavery and segregation? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Manuel in Chicago. Manuel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good night, Jeff. I happen to be a conservative, and although your comments are right, I disagree with the cost. And let me explain to you why. This guy's committing political suicide. He is likely to lose the next elections in what, 10, 11 months away? And this, he would bring a sure victory to Republicans in Nevada. Why should we ask him to resign and have someone that could become a good contender to whoever, you know, is likely to win when, you know, he's committing political suicide anyway?
I think, Manuel, that's a very good point. Thanks for the call. That's a very good point, Manuel. Yeah, and that's the thing about Harry Reid. This is what I find amazing about Dirty Harry, is the majority of his own residents of Nevada, his own fellow Nevadans, oppose health care reform, the current bill that's now in the Senate. Are they now to be compared to supporters of slavery and segregation? Harry, can you not understand that? When he runs, and he is already in trouble for his reelection efforts, if the Republicans were smart, they would play that clip and they would loop it and loop it and loop it over and over again and make it an albatross around his neck. Manuel, look, I hear you. This guy is a walking political time bomb for the Democratic Party. He is an embarrassment as the Senate Majority Leader. But my issue here is a deeper one. This is beyond partisan politics. For a man who is the leader of the Senate to stand there and to smear his opponents like that, to play the most horrible kind of race card you can play. Slavery, when you start talking slavery, when you start talking segregation, you are playing on the most volatile, dangerous emotions within the African-American community and within this country. You have shown yourself to be so reckless, to be so irresponsible, you are not fit to be the leader of the Senate. And my astonishment is, where are the Republicans? This to me is unbelievable. This is now a golden opportunity. He has given it to them on a silver platter to educate the American people, and in particular, to make the case to blacks in America, to the African-American community, the history, the proud pedigree and history of the Republican Party. Look, I'm not a Republican hack. I am a conservative. I am a conservative patriot. To me, I transcend party in my view. But facts are facts. Here's a chance for John McCain. Here is a chance for Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell to come out and say, we were the party that defeated slavery. We were the party that stood up against segregation. We were the party that championed African-American interests. It was the Democrats that were the party of the racist segregationist South, of the slaveholding South. Republicans need African-American votes. They lost over 90% of it in the last election. If they just get a quarter of the African-American vote, they can recapture both houses of Congress and the White House. Just forget the morality of it. Pure political self-interest would dictate they stand up. But they won't, because they're cowards. They're gutless cowards. Think of what's happening on health care. It is not the Republicans that are leading the charge against it. It is people like you and people like me. It is the Tea Party movement. It is the blogosphere. It is conservative talk radio. We are leading. They are following. The Republican Party is in a moral and political crisis. If they cannot stand up and demand on this issue that Senate Majority Leader Reid step aside and resign, then they're useless. Let's go to Christy in Wisconsin. Christy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Honored to get to talk. And I'm just an average American. I'm a conservative, a Christian, and very proud of it. I think that he should resign. I think the Republicans should step up. I'm an American first, and I care about America, not black and white and Hispanic and any race. I care about America, and I'm afraid for America. And I think the average American like me, if they're listening, or any Democrats are listening, or especially the Republicans, like you said, they need to step up. I think America needs to come together, and we need to just start working together to keep America. I have relatives that are married to African Americans. I have African American nephew. They're beautiful people. They're hardworking people. And anyone that's black, African American out there listening, I'm just an average person. America, white people, don't hate you. We did not put you in slavery.
Christy, you know, look, I want to thank you for that call. Look, I've been working, besides being a columnist at the Washington Times, I'm the president of the Edmund Burke Institute. The goal of EBI is to integrate minorities, in particular African Americans, into the conservative movement. And for decades, the Democrats have exploited and used African Americans to further their agenda for power and self-interest. They don't give a damn about African Americans. They have addicted many people in the African American community to welfare and to big government handouts, not because they care about African Americans, but because they want to keep them beholden to the Democratic Party. Everywhere the welfare state has gone, look what it has done. It has destroyed the inner city communities. The poverty that is there is just getting worse. The drug crisis is getting worse. What has the welfare state? What is the Great Society? What is the New Deal? What has it accomplished for African Americans? It has done nothing. They have been used by the Democratic Party for decades, and they have been playing racial politics at its worst. And what they've been doing is they've been pitting black against white, Hispanic against white, even Hispanic against black, women against men. If you notice, with the Democratic Party, it's all identity politics. When Hillary was running, oh, it's women's time now to be the leader of the Democratic Party. Or is it African Americans' time now under Obama? They play to the worst instincts of people. We are Americans first and foremost. And our ethnic and gender and sexual identity or whatever it is irrelevant. Because in the end, when Al-Qaeda comes here and they put another bomb, when they start murdering Americans, they're not going to discriminate between black and white. Believe me. They're not going to discriminate between men and women. They are equal opportunity mass murderers. When those Twin Towers collapsed on 9/11, when 3,000 Americans died, they didn't care if they were gay or straight or white or black or Hispanic or Native Indian. They didn't give a damn about that. So, my friends, if we do not hang together, we shall hang separately. And this is why every person in this country should be demanding the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid resign, but African Americans first and foremost. How dare he? How dare he stand there in the chamber of the Senate? This is the voice of the people. This is where generations of Americans have died and fought for our freedoms. This is the symbol of American government, the symbol of American freedom. And to stand there and compare people who oppose socialized medicine to those who support slavery? How dare he besmirch the victims of slavery? How dare he besmirch all those Americans who died in the Civil War to free the blacks from the oppressions of slavery, to give them their freedom? This, to me, should be a huge political scandal if the Republicans had even half a common sense about it. But this is the issue. They are gutless cowards. And it's why they lost to Obama in 2008. And it's why, if they're not careful, they're going to lose again in 2012. And believe me, to the Republicans out there, you should heed, because what you're hearing on the Savage Nation is a conservative country that is getting tired of your feckless, craven, cowardly leadership. If you are not ready to lead, we are ready to bolt and go to a third party. Believe me, these are not idle threats. Either you stand up for America or we leave, because I'm telling you, we are not going to lose our country. Let's go to Dave in Florida. Dave, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you very much. And the key word you said earlier was, where are the Republicans? And what you just said, count me in the camp that I've had it with the Republicans. They are gutless. They are spineless. And it isn't just their lack of reaction to what Harry Reid said or their lack of reaction to the health care debate. You can make a laundry list dating back a number of years. They just are not representing conservatives. We have no representation in the United States. 50% of the people in the United States are conservative, and we have zero representation. You have one flavor of Marxist heavy and one flavor, the other flavor of Marxist light. And I'm tired of it, and I'm glad what you said, and what you just said is what needs to be repeated. Anybody out there in Savage Nation that puts any stock at all in the voting booth or in the Republican Party is naive to a galactic-sized degree. There is zero use for the Republicans. They've proven they are not going to represent us, and I think that's what we need to understand and start moving forward with a third party. If it was up to me, I'd outlaw and ban the Republicans.
Dave, I want to thank you for that call, my friend. I wouldn't go that far in terms of outlawing or banning the Republicans. I think, Dave, there clearly is a strong conservative wing within the Republican Party. If that wing reemerges to dominate the party as it did under the Reagan years, this country will be restored to its former greatness. I have no doubt about that. But when you talk about the Republicans, when you talk about socialism heavy and socialism light, you are completely right. I was one of the ones who led the charge here in Washington, D.C. against much of George Bush's domestic agenda. He was the one that got us on the path to skyrocketing deficits. He was the one that pushed for amnesty for illegal immigrants. He was the one that pushed for the prescription drug entitlement program for seniors. He was the one that started with all the bailouts. George Bush was a great society Republican. And let me tell you the one Republican of all the Republicans that I grew to frankly dislike and disrespect. And that was Tom DeLay, the former House Majority Leader. And here's why. Because DeLay came to power with Newt Gingrich in 1994. I remember DeLay was running around on Capitol Hill. He was a small government conservative. He was going to dismantle the welfare state. He was going to return power to the people. He was going to slash our taxes. He was going to get government off our back. And then when they seized their majority, and especially under Bush when they had the White House, they weren't battling Bill Clinton anymore. All of a sudden, Tom DeLay started to cozy up with lobbyists like Jack Abramoff. And before you know it, we got massive farm bills, massive highway bills, pork barrel spending. The budget was busted. And Tom DeLay would go up on Capitol Hill with a straight face after they're running up spending after spending after spending, deficit after deficit after deficit. And he says, I'll never forget this, there's no more fat to cut. We've cut the government to the bone. And the reason why he said it was because he sold his soul for a little white golf ball. I kid you not, that was his price. Abramoff would fly him off to Scotland on these golf junkets where he would go to St. Andrews and he would tee it up for 9 or 18 holes. And this was his price. And this is why I even said at the time, people in the newsroom were cracking up. But I said, guys, honestly, I respect Vladimir Putin. I swear to you, I do. More than Tom DeLay. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're going to have a whore, if you're going to have a political whore who's going to sell his soul, well, look at Putin. He has billions of dollars in a bank account. He's got dachas and villas all over the place. He's got 25-year-old mistresses, Russian models. Oh, I see what he sold his soul for. I get it. Sure, he's a scumbag. But hey, the guy has some standards. At least it's a couple billion dollars he's selling his soul for. But this guy, Tom DeLay, the exterminator from Texas, this guy, what did he sell his soul for? Not a billion, not even $1 million. He sold it for a lousy, crummy, white golf ball. This is what Jack Abramoff reduced the Republican Party to. Literally to a party beholden to sleazy lobbyists. And now Obama, who promised to clean up this town from lobbyists, he's now sinking under the weight of lobbyists. And this is why we in the conservative movement have to say once and for all, Washington is a cesspool, and we are here to clean up the mess. To the Republican Party, either you're with us or you're against us, because we will no longer tolerate any more Tom DeLays. We want a real, serious conservative leader, and if you're not willing to follow us, get out of the way. I'm Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The number to call, 1-800-449-8255. Do you believe Senator Harry Reid should resign for his comments comparing the opponents of health care reform to the apologists of slavery and segregation? I want to hear from you. Let's go to Charlotte in Las Vegas. Charlotte, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mr. Cooner. Listen, you know, just real a quick comment. Do you think for a minute that that knucklehead Reed, and yes, he should resign. However, do you think that for a minute that these people that serve we the people, do you think they really have any respect for us? Do you think they have respect for our country? Do you think they have respect for anybody? You know, the thing of it is I'm so tired of hearing all these things. That, you know, we sign petitions, we write letters, knock myself out doing all this stuff. But nothing, it lands on deaf ears. Really?
Charlotte, look, I really appreciate your sentiments, and I want to thank you for that call. But I really want to stress this to you. As somebody who has been in Washington for a long time, who has covered the political scene very closely, your actions do have an effect. Believe me, they are afraid of people like you. And in fact, there are some good people on Capitol Hill. There genuinely are. Take, for example, Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma. Very courageous man. He has stood up against the global warming alarmists. He is somebody who has stood up for sound science. He is a good man. Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma is another one, a genuine conservative patriot. There are good people both in the House and in the Senate. What we have to remember is that they work for us. We don't work for them. And we can change this country if we demand and we insist that we get principled, dedicated, faithful leadership. And now what is happening under Obama, this is where I disagree with a lot of conservatives. I do not believe the sky is falling. I really don't, because I believe that our founding fathers created the greatest system of government the world has ever seen. If we can survive the Bill Clinton presidency, if we can survive the George W. Bush presidency, we can survive the Obama presidency. And what is going to happen is Obama is to me, is Santa Claus. He is the gift that keeps on giving for the conservative movement. This guy, I'm telling you, I think we should have a special place for him. I'm not kidding. I think we should put Obama up on Mount Rushmore once we get into power and call him Saint Obama. He's like Saint Nicholas. He was the gift that kept on giving, because every day that he's in power, every week and every month that the American people can see how incompetent he is, they are now seeing the experiment of liberalism in all of its shame, in all of its failure, in all of its misery. After this presidency is done, this country is going to shift dramatically to the right. You're already seeing it happen. I know this because there are people who are telling me, Jeff, I never got involved in politics. I never cared for politics. I thought there was no difference between all the parties. But this guy really scares me. This guy, I believe, is threatening everything that is good and dear about this country, and I'm now going to work actively against him. There are now conservatives popping out of the woodwork. And every day, our army is getting stronger. Every day, our troops are being reinforced. Theirs are defecting. Hell, they can't even keep their party in line anymore in the Senate on health care reform. Wait till they start passing cap and trade. We have them on the run. Now let's push to deliver the final decisive blow. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Welcome, one and all. Michael, I want to thank you so much, my friend. Just once again, just thank you. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity to guest host for you. I can't tell you what an honor and a privilege it is. And Michael, if you're out there listening, thank you so much. You have an incredible show. It is clearly to me one of the finest shows ever in talk radio. There's no doubt about that. And you have an absolutely wonderful, wonderful audience. And it is a privilege to speak to all of you out there in the Savage Nation. Go to michaelsavage.com. There are some superb stories up there about our failure to properly win the war on terror. There are stories showing clearly that we are now unilaterally disarming. Admiral Mike Mullen, lead story up there on michaelsavage.com. Here he was telling our troops about before they're about to deploy overseas to focus more on not preventing casualties, to making sure that we don't hurt any enemy, anybody out there in our fight against the enemy that could in any way damage our image to the Islamic world. He is telling our troops to make sure that they have to observe the rules of engagement, to make sure there is no collateral damage against civilians. It is a very, very important story showcasing how we are sending our troops into battle with both hands tied behind their back. There is also some excellent stories up there on the current UN climate summit at Copenhagen. And my friends, this to me could be the defining moment in the crack up of global green socialism. As leaders from around the world descend upon the UN climate summit in Copenhagen, ClimateGate is now getting bigger and bigger and bigger, like a hurricane force coming across the Atlantic. And as this is now going on, as we now find out that the research scientists at East Anglia University, the nerve center for all of the people that have been peddling the myth of global warming, from Al Gore to Barack Obama to everybody on the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, everybody that has been using this supposed science claiming that the Earth's temperatures are skyrocketing, that we are now facing melting Arctic ice caps, that now sea levels will rise, cities like Manhattan and San Francisco will be submerged underwater, massive droughts will cause hundreds of millions of people to die, perhaps billions will be what they call climate change refugees. All of this apocalypse, all of this Armageddon, that has been used to try to frighten governments and people into coughing up more of our taxpayer money to an unaccountable international socialist elite. All of this has now come unraveling as we have found out definitively that scientists in East Anglia were now sending emails to one another saying we need to destroy and suppress the evidence that shows the world is not warming but cooling. And now we are finding out that perhaps researchers at NASA, some of the key climate scientists at NASA, which has also been instrumental in undergirding the entire myth of global warming, that now their claims are also been used upon fraudulent computer models. And now people want to find out where there are also email communications where they called for raw data to be manipulated, for countervailing evidence to be suppressed, to be deleted, to be manipulated, to be twisted. And yet, remarkably, the greatest scandal in modern science, as this is going on, as now the entire basis for what governments have been trying to impose on us for literally the last 15 years, cap and trade, skyrocketing carbon taxes, massive taxes, increase of taxes on gas, on electricity, on how we lead our lives. All of this, as they have been trying to ram it down our throats. And yet, the media has been silent. The mainstream media has refused to expose and even discuss ClimateGate. ABC News, NBC News, CBS News, all of the major TV broadcast networks have said not one word, not one iota about ClimateGate. This scandal, as I've said before and I will say it again, is potentially bigger than Watergate, because its victim will not just be a president, it will not just be a political leader, but it will be an entire liberal movement, an entire political ideology, that of radical environmentalism, that of green socialism, will now be exposed as a hoax and a fraud, based on junk science, based on fear-mongering, based on one of the greatest lies ever perpetrated in the 20th century. This can destroy the entire credibility of the international socialist left. And it is because of this that the mainstream media refuses to address this issue. And by refusing to even discuss it, to even mention it, they are now participating in a cover-up. They are now complicit in the scandal of ClimateGate. And you want to see the difference of the last 30 years. You want to see the ravages of liberalism, the ravages of political correctness, how it is slowly infecting our body politic, how it is infecting and distorting and perverting our culture. Just stand back and think of this. When I say Watergate to you, what do you think? You think Woodward and Bernstein. You think of investigative journalists who are going after the truth no matter what the cost. But when I mention ClimateGate, no investigative journalist worth his salt or her salt wants to ferret out and pursue the truth. It was bloggers. It was conservative talk radio with a little bit from Fox News that has had the guts to pursue this scandal and this story. The mainstream media, the media class, has been silent. And the reason why they have been silent is because now they have shown themselves to be shills for a political party, to be lapdogs for an ideology. They now put liberal democratic politics, they now put the interests of the modern Democratic Party above their interests and their goal as journalists. They are no longer journalists, but they are political hacks for the Democratic Party. And you saw that in 2008, when we knew that Obama was a dangerous candidate, when we knew that he lacked the experience, the judgment, the temperament to be president of the United States. But the mainstream media manufactured him into a presidential candidate, and they covered up all of his associations, and they swept him into power, perpetrating a massive fraud and lie upon the American people. And now they are trying to do the same thing regarding ClimateGate. But now there is a big difference. The big difference is the evidence is out. We now have the smoking gun emails. And now the new media, the internet, the blogosphere, conservative talk radio, is now doing the job that was traditionally done by journalists before. And so as these delegates descend upon Copenhagen, they are trying to act like ClimateGate doesn't exist, but it does exist. And now Obama is faced with perhaps one of the most difficult challenges of his domestic agenda. He is now going to go to Copenhagen, and he is now going to claim, in the eyes of the world, that he is going to sign a treaty that is going to force the United States of America to cut back its carbon emissions by over 83% from current levels. What in reality that means is he will claim that he will decimate our industry. He will decimate American capitalism. He will make sure that no coal plants exist, no nuclear plants exist. He is going to claim in front of the whole world that he is willing to tax you and regulate you and transform this economy, when there is no basis to do so. And this, my friends, is the dirty little secret. It is not just Republicans, but even many moderate Democrats now know that climate change is a hoax. that climate change is a fraud and a myth. And now cap and trade lies in ruins. It is now stalled in the Senate. They cannot pass it because they know if they want to ask you to sacrifice trillions of dollars, they are asking you to do so for a political fantasy, for an absolute illusion that has been concocted by mad scientists with a politicized agenda. And so now Obama is doing what socialists always do. He is now attempting an end run around Congress. He is now attempting an end run around democracy. And this is why, if he signs that treaty in Copenhagen, which insists in that treaty, there is a clause in that treaty which calls for a new world government with the power to tax, with the power to regulate all across the world, he will come back here and he will see an opposition unlike anything we've seen before. And more than that, now we see the Environmental Protection Agency coming out with their big notice yesterday. There was the EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson. This to me was stunning. Coincidentally, just when the UN Climate Summit kicks off, there she is with her announcement. Can you believe this? Carbon dioxide is a pollutant. That's right. When you breathe, when you exhale and you pump out carbon dioxide, you may not know this, but you're now polluting the atmosphere. When cows flatulate, that's pollution. Yep, according to Lisa Jackson. They are now seeking to pass a regulatory regime that says every business, every industry, every aspect of the economy is now under the control of the federal government, and it can be regulated and even destroyed because it is now deemed as an endangerment to public health and safety. This is socialism gone mad. This is now a regime that is so desperate to try to consolidate their control over the American economy and over the American people that they now no longer believe in the legislature. They no longer believe in Congress. They no longer even believe in the democratic process. They are now showing themselves to be undemocratic, and they now want to empower an unaccountable elite, a liberal elite, to make the fundamental decisions of how we lead our lives. My friends, the issue of the environment is not some dry issue. It's not some wonky issue being battled out by scientists, being fought out by scientists. It is here that the future of socialism will either succeed or fail. We have the evidence. We have the truth. We have the smoking gun. This is why now we have to expose this to everybody who will listen. Because when the world finds out what a myth climate, what a myth global warming is, how truly destructive ClimateGate is, it will bring down not just the president, but an entire liberal socialist regime. Do you believe that ClimateGate will be Obama's undoing? Do you believe that ClimateGate will derail any agreement at the UN Climate Summit? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. I want to hear from you, 1-800-449-8255. Has the mainstream media been silent on ClimateGate? I want to hear from you. And if so, why do you think they've been so silent? What do you think they're afraid of? I think they're afraid that once the full implications of ClimateGate are known to everybody, it will discredit the likes of Al Gore forever. And here you have a guy, Big Al, who has made millions of dollars peddling this snake oil of global warming alarmism for years now. He is now not just Al Gore, the former presidential candidate, he is now Al Gore the prophet. He is now Moses, who is now going to lead us through, part the Red Sea and lead us into freedom from the slavery of modern day economic capitalism. He is now going to save us from the disaster of an apocalypse of global warming, submerging the entire world under sea levels. And if this climate gate scandal continues to gather steam, it is Al Gore who is going to be exposed as a liar and as a charlatan, who has been running around this country charging $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a pop every time he gives a speech, who through his law firm has been using and defending clients to advance himself and those of his cronies who have been peddling things like ethanol and supposedly alternative energy fuels that deliberately and systematically benefit him and his clients. This man has been getting rich off of the lies of global warming, off of the supposed need for climate change and the need to address it. This man is not a principled man. He is a charlatan and a shyster and a liar. And pretty soon he's going to be exposed for this, not just among conservatives, but in front of the entire world. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. I want to hear from you, 1-800-449-8255. Is there a complicity in the mainstream media to cover up ClimateGate? And if so, why? I want to hear from you, members of the Savage Nation. Let's go to Anne in Palm Beach. Anne, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, hello. A couple things regarding the climate gate. Al Gore basically invented the global warming fraud for many, many years before that. All the scientists kept saying we were coming into a new ice age. And then, in my opinion, the reason he invented it was to set the scenario for later bringing in his mega billion-dollar income that he was scheming regarding the carbon credits, because the two go together, the global warming and leading to the carbon credit. And I think it was a big plan that he did with much thought and brilliance, actually, but, you know, for the biggest fraud probably that's ever been perpetrated against the human race. And another thing, too, regarding the carbon dioxide being a pollutant and everything, and when we're 7 and 8 years old, in second and third grade, for crying out loud, we all learn that the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom, of which people belong, they keep each other alive by what they exhale. We exhale carbon dioxide that keeps plants alive. They can't live without it. And they breathe out oxygen to keep us alive. I mean, we all
see,
learn that.
Anne, but here's the problem. See, you're obviously a woman who's scientifically literate. You're a woman who obviously has common sense. And with the global warming alarmists, there's no such thing. For them, this is a religion. And it is literally a religion. Just out of the UN, they are now saying at the UN Climate Summit, this is now coming right out now out of Copenhagen, that they want to have environmentalism recognized as a religion, as something that is values-based, that gives people meaning in their lives, and it should be protected as freedom of religion is protected. This is how fanatical and superstitious these people are. And you are completely right when you mention Al Gore, because Al Gore, to me, is no better than those Wall Street shysters that plundered this economy out of hundreds of billions of dollars during the recession last year. They have made out like gangsters, and this guy has been making out like a gangster. This guy, to me, is no better than a bank robber. He's no better than a bandit. And there he is with his eco-venture capital fund, Kleiner Perkins, of which he's a partner of. Kleiner Perkins has been in it to make money for its clients. It has been making Al Gore millions of dollars. And he is there defending all of these people who are trying to trade these carbon credits. It is a racket. It is a massive racket to favor industries and corporations and businesses that are favorable to the Democratic Party. That's what this is all about. This is a massive Ponzi scheme by which the liberal elite reward their friends and punish their enemies. And now they're going to use the Environmental Protection Agency as a bludgeon, as a baseball bat, to smash industry and business and anybody that opposes them. And they're going to regulate this economy and tax this economy to death. And this is the real evil of green socialism. It is not just a massive fraud. It is not just a massive myth. It is going to destroy capitalism as we know it. It is going to permanently impoverish this country. If Obama has his way on this thing, mark my words, this is communism through the back door. And they're already just like the communists. They don't believe in the will of the people. They don't believe in popular majority. They don't believe in a democratic process. If, to me, it's a very simple argument. If global warming is so obvious, if the case is so solid, if there's this massive scientific consensus with such overwhelming scientific evidence, why do you have to ram it down our throats? Just show us the evidence. But you can't, because the evidence is more than uncertain. The evidence, in fact, goes against everything what you say. If it's so obvious, pass cap and trade in Congress. Let people stand up, vote and be counted. But no, now they realize cap and trade won't be passed. So what are they going to do? Now they use the EPA. Now they use the Environmental Protection Agency to claim that carbon dioxide is a pollutant. So every time you exhale, you're polluting the environment. This is the insanity of liberalism. But more than that, it shows its soft totalitarian nature. It shows the thuggishness at the heart of the socialist movement. They don't give a damn about democracy. They don't give a damn about the poor. If they gave a damn about the poor, do you honestly think for a second they'd even touch the issue of global warming? There's malaria. There's AIDS. There's mass hunger. My God, people are dying all over the third world. All of these billions of dollars that is going for global warming, that is going for this UN climate summit. Do you know how many mouths that could feed? Do you know how many people that could protect from malaria? Modern environmentalists are committing genocide in the third world. And if nobody in the media has the guts to say it, I will. Let's go to Jim in Kansas City. Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for accepting my call. Mr. Cooner, can I call you Jeff?
Sure, call me Jeff.
Thank you so much for filling in for Michael. I was afraid he was going to blow a cork if he doesn't have people like you and Chris DeGaulle to fill in. We need that man. You know what he is? He is a brilliant jewel of an American.
He really is. He's a true patriot in every sense of the word, and I admire him not just for his intellect, but also most, I think even more than his intellect, I admire him for his courage. But go ahead, Jim.
He's so rare. He's rare. Well, the media here in Kansas City, we got a weatherman named Mike Thompson, and I've heard some other weathermen make some little slight comments about this or that, about, you know, negating the whole man-caused climate change stuff. But Mike, I guess after the emails came out, Mike Thompson said something the other day and caught a whole bunch of slack by it from everybody, you know, powers at be. But that's just a little update on the media here. But I think I know who hacked the computers.
Who do you think hacked the computers, Jim?
Let me ask you a question. Who's the best hackers in the whole world on the planet?
I would probably say the communist Chinese.
Yes. And what would their motive be? I'll tell you if you don't know.
Oh, I mean, I think I know. And Jim, listen, I want to thank you for that call. No, I think it's obvious. The Chinese, I mean, they're smart. Say what you want about the communist Chinese. They are now outmaneuvering us at every turn. They are building up their military. Their economy is booming. They now basically own this country. They are buying up our national debt. Walmart, to me, is a Chinese outlet store. Anything you buy in Walmart basically is made in China. Pretty soon, we're not going to be making anything in this country. They are now the America of the late 19th century. When we were a rising power and we were starting to threaten Great Britain, who was then the dominant power in the world, this is what China is right now. And you're right. They have expert hackers. And even the communist Chinese realize that global warming is a fraud. And what they're saying, along with the Indians, is you people are insane. You people in the Western world have created the most prosperous, dynamic economy ever. And you are basically committing suicide. You are basically unilaterally disarming yourselves economically. You are impoverishing yourselves. You are imposing massive regulations and taxes that will destroy economic growth, destroy the very engine of that prosperity. You are now going to take a hammer and a sickle to capitalism. You are going to smash it and cut it to pieces. And to me, what is most remarkable at all this is as Obama spends money like a drunken Marxist, as he spends money like a drunken sailor, we're now ratcheting up deficit after deficit after deficit. Today, he comes out with another statement. We're going to have a second stimulus package. More money down a rat hole for bridges and roads and infrastructure projects. The first one didn't work. Now we're going to do a second one. Let's pile up even more borrowing, even more debt. This is his grand economic strategy. And yet, as all of this is going on, the Chinese are looking at us and they're lecturing us. The commies, the communists, they are telling us, you don't know how to run an economy. You don't know how to balance a budget. You don't even know that environmental regulations and this kind of draconian legislation will kill you as a nation. Yeah, Jim, look, I have no evidence. I don't know who the hackers were. Whoever they were, they did this country and the world a great service. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was the Chinese. Because the Chinese and the Indians, to their credit, they're not caving in to these global warming shysters. They're not caving in to Al Gore. They're telling Al Gore to take a hike. No, we're not signing any binding agreement at the UN Climate Summit. Absolutely not. This is what the Chinese and the Indians know that we lost, that we don't understand anymore. In China, they now put the interests of the Chinese economy and of Chinese national interests first. They put the interests of the Chinese ahead of any global agenda. The same thing with the people of India. The leaders of India have said, my duty is to defend the economic national interests of the Indian people. It is not to placate and bow to these false prophets like Al Gore and George Soros and Barack Obama. Yet what does our president do? He is now going to go on the last day of the summit and try to seem like the guy on the white horse who's going to save the climate, who's going to save the world from catastrophe. All he is ensuring is an economic and political catastrophe here at home. Believe me, if he signs that treaty, he is going to have a political war like he's never seen. He thought the backlash was tough in the summer. Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Let's go to Joe in New York. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I am loving life, living my dream. Can you detect a little sarcasm in that one?
Nah, I can detect the sarcasm, Joe.
I'm speechless, sir. I had a comment about the global warming thing, thinking that the reason they were doing it was fear, money, basically. You know, you keep people afraid that this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and you need to charge them this and need to charge them that, and they're going to pay it because they're afraid that, my God, something's going to happen. But I just listened to what you said to the last two callers, and I'm speechless. I feel like an idiot because I really don't have much of a comment. I don't know what to say.
Joe, look, you're not an idiot. Please, Joe, you're not an idiot. What you are is a red-blooded American. That's what you are. And you're somebody who has more common sense in your little pinky than most people here in Washington, the political class. These people, to me, honestly, I've said this before, I will say it again. You take this guy, Harry Reid, Dirty Harry. We as conservatives should insist on a mental competency test for every member of Congress. We should insist we want an amendment to the Constitution. We want a baseline IQ to some people. Too bad. You have to have a minimum IQ. We'd like to have three digits up there in your IQ level. And we want a mental competency test because you look at this guy. He stands there and he's comparing the opponents of health care reform to the supporters of slavery and segregation. Just today, he comes out and he doubles down on his comments. He said, no, he's not going to apologize. There's nothing for him to apologize for. He's standing behind his comments. And he's bragging to everybody who listened to him. Once he passes health care, he thinks he can help Obama on the environment. Nancy Pelosi, to me, she should be held accountable. In June, they passed a $1 trillion cap and trade bill. This is money that we don't have. This is money that will destroy the American economy. And yet she's bragging to her radical environmental eco-freak friends what a great environmentalist she is. These people have no idea how to manage a country or how to manage an economy. And they are now taking us down the path to ruin. And with every day that they stay in power, I am telling you, we conservatives are getting stronger and more energized and more emboldened by the day. And this is the thing about Obama. If he had half a brain, he would say, I got to do two things and two things only. Restore the economy and win the war in Afghanistan, no matter what. And if he did that, he'd be considered a great president. Look at him. He's everywhere. Now he's going to go again to Copenhagen, and he will come back, as he does with everything else, with absolute failure. This is a smoke and mirrors president, and I am telling you, my friends, he is now being exposed for the socialist charlatan that he is. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the talk radio heavyweight champion of the world, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Let's go to William in Utah. William, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, thank you very much, Jeff, for taking my call. What I wanted to say is we only hope, as Americans, I happen to be a veteran, that all these lies are going to be exposed. And the climate gate is just part of a conspiracy, what we believe, most veterans that are out of the military now, we actually believe that they're trying to purposely crash our economy so they can do away with our money and go to a one-world monetary system and a one-world government. And many of us are scared to death that this is already in the works and is going to happen soon. Excuse me,
William, if that's their plan, I'm telling you, it's not going to work. And they have a very rude awakening that's going to happen to them very soon, waiting for them. Because I got to tell you this, they tried communism in the Soviet Union. It didn't work. Look even at the communist Chinese, the red Chinese. Even they have enough sense to abandon Marxism, Marxist economics, to abandon the assault on capitalism. They're now becoming more capitalist than we are. Obama is the remnant of a dying ideology. He is a byproduct of the 1960s who studied at the feet of Saul Alinsky. And he is somebody, just like these aging hippie baby boomers, his time is now coming to an end. And what happened was in 2008, you had a country that was war-weary, the Iraq War had grown unpopular, you had a serious recession, you had a country that was disgusted with 8 years of Republican misrule and corruption. It was now the perfect storm. And Obama seized his opportunity. But now, with every day, with every week, with every month that he's in power, look, the guy's barely been in power 11 months. He's already now under 50% in his job approval rating. It is falling like a stone. Unemployment is at 10%. It's going to get even worse. The deficit is going to get even worse. This healthcare thing is going to become a debacle. I don't think they're going to be able to pass it. And if they do pass it, oh my God, is there going to be a rebellion in 2010? The Democratic Party is imploding in front of our very eyes. If I said to you in 1986, 1987, the Soviet Union is on the verge of disintegrating and falling apart, you would have laughed at me. Everybody would have laughed at me. They would have said, my God, the communists never have looked stronger. They own half the world. They are now a bigger empire than the United States. And within 2 years, the whole rotten structure came crashing down. This is similar with liberalism today. They can have all the champagne and shrimp and cocktails at the UN climate summit all they want. You can have Rahm Deadfish Emanuel try to strong arm everybody on Capitol Hill. You can have Dirty Harry talk about slavery and trying to bully and intimidate people, it's not going to work. Because in the end, socialism is the ideology of failure. It is the ideology of death. And we human beings, we are programmed, we are hardwired to love life. And just as we have succumbed, we did not succumb to Nazi Germany. We did not succumb to the Soviets during the Cold War. We will not succumb to Obama's socialist revolution. He thinks he's smart. But underneath all of his glibness, all of his superficiality, there lies a man who has a glass jaw. And all we have to do is take one big political swing. His days are numbered. Trust me. Politically, he's finished. And we're the ones that are going to deliver the knockout blow. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. May God bless you, and may God bless America. Savage.